The first scripture reading is from John 11, 32 through 45. Let us listen to the word of God. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading comes to us from the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite, from Ezekiel 37. You probably know it well. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it's on page 704 and 705. Let us listen to the word of God. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied. Suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I don't always have a lot of time these days to watch action movies. You know the movies where the hero should have died 15 times, but somehow lives and saves the world from total destruction? I used to watch those kind of movies all the time. But somehow being a dad of two little girls hasn't given me too much time for that. So my blowing up, guns firing, cars racing, alien pumping movies are now collecting dust. Now, the reason I bring up these movies is when I hear about a valley full of bones from Ezekiel, I am reminded of the movie Terminator. A human army is led by John Connor against Terminator robots who are trying to destroy the world. So when I hear about a valley full of bones scattered everywhere, it reminds me of this opening scene. You probably remember it. When a robot foot crushes a human skull and then the camera pans out and you see this giant robot with a laser gun and the whole field behind it is full of destruction with bones scattered everywhere and chaos ensuing. That's what it made me think of. It's enough of my action-packed, robot-crazed action movies. Let's get back to scripture. I brought it up because it's similar to what Ezekiel sees around him, the aftermath of a battle, minus the robots, of course. In fact, it's after a battle with the strongest force out there, the Babylonians. The Israelite army fought hard against Nebuchadnezzar's army, and yet they lost. And Ezekiel's transported to the middle of this valley, one in which a battle has been fought, and he sees bones everywhere. And it's personal, because these bones are of his heritage. These bones are of his people who fought long and hard and lost. Not only were the Israelites defeated militarily, but they were defeated in every aspect of life. The Babylonians, when they would conquer a people, they would take the land and they would take the most skilled and educated and important folks of that land, in this case the Israelites, and they would force them to go to Babylon. And they would send them there. And most of them adapted to the new way of life rather quickly, and they let go of their heritage and their religion and their past for this new Babylonian lifestyle, which is exactly what the Babylonians wanted. So the bones that Ezekiel sees in the valley not only represents Israelites' defeat on this battlefield, but they represent the Israelites who have now abandoned God and their heritage. These bones are seeming dry and lifeless. There are times in our own lives when things are dry and lifeless. You know, those rough patches in our lives when we have difficulties, either with our spouses, and our bones start to get tired. Or when we have difficulties and struggles and pain and hurt. All those things make for dry bones. And we discover life is filled with dry bones. There are people outside this church, and there are people even in here who were defeated by the dryness and tiredness of life. Now, one pastor calls it the places of deep despair where death seems to lurk. She says, look down deep within the valley of many a soul, and you'll see some skeletons. Anyone over the age of 12 knows what I'm talking about. You've looked inside where you can hide from everyone but God, and you've seen that place of death, the day of the diagnosis, the day you lost the job, the day you realized your marriage was on the rocks, the day the love of your life was snatched from you too soon, the day your friend died in an accident, the day you realized that your alcohol or drug abuse was killing the relationships and destroying you, the day you lost faith in somebody you trusted who disappointed you big time, the day you lost faith in yourself because of a sin committed that you cannot bear, the day that the newspaper headlines and the cable news finally got to you, the afternoon you got the call telling you that your dear child, the dearest child in the universe, was being sent to Afghanistan, the morning you wake up and you don't want to leave your bed because you're so depressed that nothing seems to matter anymore, the day you wondered if there really was a God. You know what I'm talking about. You've looked deep within the valley of your soul, and there are dry bones lying lifeless in the arid heat. I know I'm not alone. If you've seen those bones, then you know exactly what Ezekiel sees. And after Ezekiel sees these bones and he takes it all in, he recognizes, God shares with him that Israel are these dry bones, both literally and metaphorically. After this, God has a question for him. Mortal, can these bones live? This question isn't only about the dead coming back to life. It has deeper implication. God's asking, can this nation come back to life? Can a rebellious nation who's abandoned God and has by all other measures become dry bones after battle, and dry bones after losing their spirit, can they come back to life? Mortal, can these bones live? Ezekiel dodges the question and leaves it up to God. Oh Lord God, you know. You know whether these bones can live. And that's when the impossible happens. These bones start moving and a whirlwind starts flowing. The bones rattle against each other and sinews and flesh and skin cover the bones and they look alive. What once was dead looks alive, or so we think, but it's just not right. Ezekiel realizes that although these bones look life-filled, they have no breath. They have no ruha, which is the Hebrew word, meaning no breath, no wind, no spirit. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the ruha, to the breath. And that's when this valley full of dry bones comes to life. And the ruha, the wind, the breath, the spirit of God fills this valley, and a place of death is no more. It's instead filled with abundant life. It's filled with God's ruha, God's spirit. And many years later, a similar thing happens. A rush of a wind, a rattling, a whirlwind of God's Holy Spirit fills the upper room, like fire coming down from heaven. It's the same place where Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. But it's after they abandoned him, after they deserted him. It's after Jesus has suffered and died on the cross. It's much after. And then he's raised. And all the disciples, they gather. They gather in this upper room after they have left him. And God's breath comes down from heaven and fills this entire place. God's ruha, God's spirit, God's breath fills this room of these disciples who don't know where to go or how to go. And the impossible starts happening, a rattling and a whirlwind. And it's been part of God's people ever since Ezekiel, and yet it seems like we forget about God's power, God's ruah. And somehow the dry bones rattle us to our core. But don't worry. God knows what we need. God knows about dry bones. God knows about all the dry bones that you keep hidden deep within your soul. So God has a question for you. Mortal, can these bones live? Ezekiel witnessed a people who were so rebellious, who turned away from God in every aspect of their lives, and yet he also witnessed soon after God breathing ruah, life and breath and spirit into this dry, dead bones, and they lived. And God came down in a rattling and a whirlwind to fill those bones with God's spirit. Pastor Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story about her friend Matilda. Matilda died several years later with Lou Gehrig's disease, which means she gradually lost control of all her muscles. Her face went first, then her vocal cords, her legs. For the last year of her life, she communicated by writing on a slate, one of those erasable things that kids play with. And sometimes she would get so excited that she would write and erase faster than anyone could read. Matilda found a lot to be excited about. Watercolors, for instance. When she could not talk anymore, she taught herself how to paint until her kitchen walls were papered with flowers. When you went to visit Matilda, you painted. That was one of the rules. It did not matter if you had ability. Matilda stuck a paintbrush in your hand, and she shoved a plastic egg container full of colors in front of you, and you painted. And the best part was afterwards, when she admired your work, sticking her thumbs up in the air and rewarding you with her loose, drooling grin. Something bigger was going on with Matilda. Every time she lost something she could not live without, she found that she could. And something came in to fill the void, a fresh series of paintings, a new friend, a deeper sense of the presence of God. God's ruha, God's breath filled Matilda. God's spirit filled her and gave her life, even though she was dying. God filled the void, the loss, the dry bones in her life, and everyone around her saw it. They saw her live in such a way that God's spirit, that God's breath was made alive in her. You and I know the answer to the question, mortal, can these bones live? We hear it happening over and over again in the Bible. God's ruah makes dry bones come to life. We've seen it happen in our lives time and time again. We see the breath of God in someone like Matilda, and that's why we come here to this place. We know there are dry bones in the deep valleys of our soul, but we come here to this sanctuary to hear the rattling, to see the whirlwind, and to make bones come to life. Because here in this sanctuary, God's ruah fills this space. Like it filled the valley and like it filled the upper room. This is a place filled with a wind and a rattling and a whirlwind of God's breath and God's spirit. Breathe it in. Take a deep breath in and out and fill those dry bones with God's ruah. Feel alive. Feel a deeper sense of God's presence in your life. Amen and amen.